Yeah, it's Big Wave Dave and his arch nemesis, Mr. Virgil Potter himself, in the flesh, right here in the... No, I'm in the hot seat this time. Usually Virgil is, we're in the... That's why I call him my nemesis while we're in the broadcast booth. We're going to do the results of the general election. It's midterm elections, 2014. I'll start out with Yucatan.
Hold on.
I always want to say Yucatan.
Yucatan. Yak. So you removed an R from my last name, Porter?
Porter.
But these are unofficial. They have not certified. I think they still have a handful of ballots out there that they're absentee question ballots.
I would think the state would realize that once that you and I go on with this, you know, on a public forum, that it would be finalized at that moment in time. But unfortunately, it doesn't work that way. Virgil's right. They have to go through. There's plenty of votes out there. I'm not sure that... said either Begich or has thrown in the towel yet, has conceded. So,
well, you know, and just official. This is all unofficial.
But that's what I'm saying here.
We're going to take a peek. We're going to take a peek at pretty much the Aleutians East Borough, at least the four main communities within it, and break it down and see how voter turnout came about. And so you are going to start with Yucatan.
I'm Yucatan's the one. We have 501 registered voters. And 76 votes cast at 15.17% of the folks. That's not a lot of turnout.
15%.
Midterm elections, though, you generally get about half of what you do, I think, for the regular.
And keep in mind, Yucatan is also, you know, that's primarily a migratory workforce. So I'm sure that they're registered, or I would think that they would be registered in large numbers, but how many people are actually staffed right now?
No, I understand that. Anyway, the votes cast, we had for the Senate, we had 73 votes cast, and it went this way. Senator Begich, the incumbent, had 40 votes. Fish had 5. Giannato Sosos, whatever how you pronounce that, is 1. And Sullivan had 26, and we had 1 write-in. So that's the closest one would be Begich and Sullivan. And again, that's 40 to 26. So Begich is way ahead. And you've got to remember, too, that the Honorable Senator did 3 interviews with KSDP. So he has a pretty good presence in Bush, Alaska.
And what was he the head of? Fisheries?
Fisheries, yes, yes.
Yeah.
So I'm
sure he had the backing there.
I'm really going to miss the senator. And for the House, we had 76 votes were cast. And Dunbar got 32. McDermott got 6. And Young got 38. Now, that's pretty close there. He got a 6-vote margin between Dunbar and Young. But, again, only 76 votes were cast.
I don't know how it bewilders me, but, you know, I was glad to see there was a little bit of, you know, there's a little bit of a battle there. I mean, most people just go in and fill in, it seems they just fill in Young by default.
Yeah, I don't know any other congressman, you know, except Young in this state or anybody that was running. I don't know. Who did I vote for? Who knows? Anyway, governor, we had 73 votes cast. We had Cliff with 8. Myers had 8. They had a tie. I didn't know Dale Myers was running for governor.
I didn't know that either. I didn't read my ballot very well.
I didn't either. I would have voted for you, Dale. And then Parnell got 20. I can't hold a straight face. I'm sorry. This is like in the 60s.
Breaking.
Harvey Cole. Oh, yeah, good old his laughter. Let's go through this again. Governor is 73 votes cast. Cliff had 8. Myers had 8. Parnell had 27. Walker had 30. Again, that's pretty close between Walker and Parnell. I got a 3-vote, and there was no write-ins on that one. So
now let's go through the measures, the ballot initiative.
You got it. Measure 2 votes cast was 70, and we had yes at 58 and no for 12.
And that was for the legalized marijuana and
right,
bringing the commerce up into out of the black market.
Right, and that's as it should be. And measure 3 is 67 ye voted, that is, were cast, and 64 were yes and 3 for no. Which one was that again, Bridge?
That remember. Is the minimum wage initiative.
That's right.
Which brings us over $7, so...
Kind of a Washington, almost.
I'm still curious what that impact will have on our major employer here in our region. And because, you know, do you start out on the slime line at minimum wage? I didn't, you know...
Well, it's a big thing, and you're going to make a lot of money. It's like working on the research boats, you know, not research boat, but... But the factory trawler's out in the bearing, you know, they put you on a minimum wage, but, you know, you're working 15, 16 hours a day, so it kind of, you know, it adds up.
Yeah, but...
But the minimum wage is not going up enough to really have any negative effect at all upon our fish processing plants out here. There's just absolutely no way. I mean, Washington's, I think it was, I don't know how high it was, but it's the second highest unemployment in the nation, and now they're kicking it up to 15. I know Seattle's already done that, and that's... To my way of thinking, that's really where it should be, I think, you know. The lowest guy, you know, just working in a hamburger sandwich to make what I make here. That's a pretty good life. Now, again, Virgil, how are you going to afford to do that? See, that's the question. $15 an hour, if you're going to bump hamburger stands up to that or Trident up to that, you know, let's say... That could have a negative impact on employment possibilities, you know.
But we're at least over 9, and...
It's fun to watch this one. I like to argue on both sides of the fence on this it's understandably.
Now, this was the anomaly that I had seen and that you get to talk about. Measure 4, which was protecting Bristol Bay and any large mining operations are going to have to go through the state legislature if this passed. Well, it did pass... But look at the numbers.
37 to 30. I thought it'd be more of a landslide on that one.
I know, especially out of Acatan, which is almost primarily focused on fish processing.
Yeah, I have a hard time really understanding that one.
But yeah, 67 votes cast, 37 for, and 30.
30 against. Now, what's Cold Bay look like, Verge?
Cold Bay. This one's odd. 105 registered voters. Only 21 votes cast. They came in at 20%, which, oh, wait.
That's about the same as
Acatan. That's a little bit more than Acatan, but still pretty skinny.
Right.
And Senate, 21 votes cast, and Begich had 4, Fish had 2, Gianna Tosos, that's the Alaskan Conservative Party, I think, he had 0. Sullivan at 15. So Sullivan really rounded out Cold Bay. No write-ins.
What's the matter with you guys in Cold Bay? You're not listening to KSDP when we had the honorable Senate?
Hey, you know, it's what have they all said? That was, you know, this vote for Sullivan, some people interpret it as just, you know, they wanted a change in Washington.
Well, and, yeah, that's...
Vote against the president.
Yeah, that's the whole thing, is against the Democrats in general, not against Begich himself, I think.
Moving on to our House representative... 21 votes cast in Cold Bay. Dunbar got 3 of them. McDermott got 3 of them. Representative Young got 15. And write-in
was
0. So, yeah, Young took that one, too. Everybody gave it back to him. Governor, 21 votes cast. Clift got 1. Myers got 0. Not very popular over there in Cold Bay, Mr. Myers. Dale. Parnell got 17. Walker got 3. There was no write-in. So Parnell took Cold Bay. Measure 2 in Cold Bay. 18 votes were cast for Measure 2, which is the marijuana initiative. Yes, 7. No, 11. Cold Bay did not want legal pot.
Oh, just they just want illegal pot. No, they must not want it at all.
Well, it's already legal, but I don't know.
I think at least it should have been a tie. That's
you never know. You never know. This is voting. This is the beauty of it.
I love
Measure
it.
Measure 3, which was the minimum wage. 19 votes were cast for this initiative. 11 said yes. 8 said no. Measure 4, protecting Bristol Bay, 17 votes were cast, 12 said yes, 5 said no. So, looks about the line. The only weird anomaly was, what is it? Measure 2, they were the no. They were the no
right.
in the Aleutians East Borough. Moving on to King Cove, you get to cover King Cove.
Yeah, they had quite a good turnout, 48.04%. That's
the
almost 50-50. That's really good. Good. Way to go, King Covers. 331 registered voters at 159 votes were cast, again at 48 and change percent. Senate had 156 votes cast. Begich had 83. Fish had 2. Giannatosos had 3, and Sullivan had 68, and there were no write-ins. So 83 for Begich and Sullivan 68. That's kind of the way I thought it'd probably go out this way with all the advertising he did out here. For the House, you had 159 votes cast. You had Dunbar with 25, McDermott with 4, and Young with 130 with no write-ins. That was quite a landslide for Senator Young.
Teflon Don.
Congressman Young, yeah.
Teflon Don.
Way to go. Teflon. Okay, Governor, 153 votes cast. We had 6 for Cliff. That's not Montgomery Cliff. No, that was an actor.
Montgomery Cliff.
Yeah, Montgomery Cliff got 6. Dale Myers got 8. Sean Parnell got 107. Walker only had 32, and there are no write-ins. So we have a pretty good landslide for Parnell on that one. Measure 2 votes cast. We had 154 cast a vote, and 115 said yes, 39 said no. It measures 354 votes were cast. 137 were yes and 17 were no. And that's by the way I thought it would go, just as projecting ahead. And then number 4, pressure 4, was 142 votes were cast. We had 97 on the yes side and 45 on the no side.
You know, it's for these fishing communities, I was really surprised to see the lopsided numbers on that Bristol Bay initiative. That it just really struck me. I mean, that's there's still, I mean, that's almost a 2-to-1 margin right there, 97 to 45. But, you know, there was still a whole bunch of people.
Well, I think what the people are thinking, that if they have they damage the waters up there, it'll kill all the sockeye, so the price will go up and our prices will go insane. How's that for logic? Twisted as it were.
No, and there is mineral,
it's the same fish.
There is mineral development out here. I mean, we have mining operations. We're sitting right next to what used to be the largest hard rock gold mine in North America.
No, it was the biggest in 1906. Now, we can do some mining here, but large scale, when you have the goofy chemicals and stuff that really mess up the environment, that's an issue. I mean, you know, dig the ore out and send it out somewhere to have it done. I think the Apollo mine was having their stuff done in Germany a lot.
No, they didn't. They had a cyanide plant over
there. They had
their own cyanide plant.
I read about that. Sorry about that, yeah.
I mean, it wasn't just a mining operation. They had a processing operation over there.
Yeah. And I guess we're coming up to Sand Point. Virgil, balls in the court.
Sand Point. 400, the top of our four communities that we're taking a peek at today. Sand Point had 479 registered voters, but only 159 votes were cast. So that's about 36.5%, which...
King Cole beat us, Sandpointers. King Cole beat us.
They did.
That shouldn't sit well with us.
I mean, the same amount of votes were cast in both places.
Right.
But King Cove had a handful of fewer registered voters. But their return, I mean, 48, almost 50% in a general election.
For the midterm general election, that's really high.
I mean, of course, there was folks that were up north a little bit, up on the western face, that smoked everybody in the state. I mean, they had returns of like 87% and stuff up in some villages. That was crazy. I had heard that on the morning.
No, I never heard that. That's really.
Yeah, there was like these weird pockets of, you know, almost everybody that was registered turned out. That was cool. But we had 36%, 36.5% caster ballots. Senate, 171 votes were cast. Begich had 81. Fish had 9. Gianna Tosos, 8. Sullivan, 73. So that was a pretty skinny lead that Begich had, 81 to 73. House, looking at 171 votes were cast. Dunbar with 41. McDermott with 6. Young, 124. He got the largesse. Governor, 169 votes were cast. Clift had 5. Myers had 12. Parnell, 72. Walker, 79. Walker took it here. It was not such a... Now, in King Cove, Parnell, he was there. I mean, you know, he had those numbers. But here in Sand Point, Walker had that slight edge. Pulled what? 7 votes over Parnell. Right. And, heck, you know, considering the numbers in the state election, that might have been the 7 votes that pushed him up.
Yeah, that's one thing about it. It's got a whole lot of population up here. You know, 1,000 votes either way really means a whole lot, you know, a whole lot.
All right, Sand Point. Now, let's take a peek at what our broadcast of origin community, how did they look on the measures? Measure 2, 167 votes were cast. Yes, on Measure 2, 116 to 51. 2-to-1 almost. No, Measure 3, 166 votes for Cash.
I think the reason for that is because Kenny signed in his front yard. That's what pushed it over in this city. Kenny, thanks.
You know, you got to participate.
Campaigning works.
I wonder if he got any of that big money from out of state for that. I'm sure they mailed him a set of poster paints or something, maybe, huh?
Could be. Maybe a new shortwave radio or something fun, yeah.
Yeah,
for up here.
But once again, Measure 2, 116 votes to 51. Seems like that was a little bit of a mandate right there. Measure 3, again, another mandate. 166 votes cast, 142 in favor of minimum wage increase, 24.
That was the strongest lead, I think. Percentage-wise, I don't know, Akitat might be at 64-3. I don't know, but they're all pretty
64
much.
64-3, that right there speaks volumes.
Yeah, I mean, they're all pretty much of a landslide on that. We can see, I think the general population of the United States is heading that way, but I like to argue, on both sides of the issue. It's a fun one.
Ballot measure 4, protecting Bristol Bay, 110-51. I think that probably the biggest split in all of these communities. Sandpoint was very much into protecting the bay.
Confidence. Yeah.
That's, I didn't see the false pass. I don't know how they lumped those up. All these election results are available to anyone. They're on the web. The state has done an excellent job keeping these updated, keeping them available, keeping the website living, because I know that everybody wanted to read it and still do.
Right.
But yeah, it's, I believe, elect.alaska.gov or elect.alaska.net.
.net, yeah.
Right, because the election results are provided by people that actually have the bandwidth that can support those web servers. And they'll eventually be over at elections on the government website as well. But elect.alaska.net. And they have all of these. And they have it broken down by area, which is what I really wanted to drill down and talk about, was it's not just a state. How did the Aleutians East Borough vote? You know, what was their take on these candidates and these ballot measures? Awesome. Thank you for letting me come in and invade your studio space, Dave.
Just for the record here, I didn't want to do this. Virgil made me. I can't use my name. No, I'm just kidding. I love doing this type of stuff. It's just a blast. It's fun when you have two people who can play off of each other. I think Loretta and me really had the best time up here. I don't know why, what that chemistry was, but it really was a blast. And thanks, Virgil, for coming up with this idea. And then we typed everything out and had it color-coded and everything. So
yeah,
even
Dave,
I couldn't make a mistake.
Dave, I appreciated that. I had just gone and, you know, just ran a little Sharpie across it and kind of marked out some of the numbers I have to give you.
But I'm getting senile, so I really am. So it was hard for me. I had to put every color code it and had it all listed, you know, and I type with two fingers so I can't get too confused. Yeah. I have to spell check, so.
Spell check helps everyone. Yeah. Moving on, later this afternoon, I got pretty much a yes. That sometime after 2, they have to go and sort through their fertilized eggs at the hatchery. But Nate Julian, who's the science teacher up at the school, and his students are going to come and stop in and give us an update on how those silvers are coming along. I went over there and watched them milk and pull some eggs out of the fish that they had captured. Students had gone and, you know, out of Humboldt, they'd pulled the fish themselves and put it in the tank on their own time. I thought that was very impressive.
No, that's really close dedication.
That, you know,
yeah, they really want to learn
outside
here.
Outside of class, they went and caught their own fish so they could actually make their own new fish.
Yeah. One fish for the hatchery, two fish for the smoker.
Well,
one fish.
Well, I mean, that's how it works. But they're going to be in later this afternoon, sometime after 2. And we'll talk on air a little bit, and then we might even be able to boil it down into a news story. It's pretty interesting. I mean, every school in Alaska has a hatchery program where they can get a can full of fertilized eggs and hatch them in a tank in their classroom. But there's only 2 schools that are allowed to have outside facilities and capture this many fertilized eggs. I think it's like 50,000.
What school? You said there's only 2 schools that can
Petersburg and Sandpoint. And we were the first. We were the number one student school-run aquaculture program. And I learned that one thanks to David O. He stuck his head in here just to say hi one day. And I got to learn a lot more of the background. So we'll have some quotes from him and hopefully be able to tell a neat little story about Sandpoint's hatchery and, you know, the ways that it's augmented. I mean, the Humboldt Silver Run.
You know, that's pretty cool. I'm really getting a kick out of it. The other thing that's really important today, for it's Friday, we have a Sailor's going to come in and grace our stage.
Oh, heck.
That's always a blast. And
we got a full bill.
Yeah, this is. I was going to do a Beatles show, but that might be too much for everybody. We might have a town meltdown, so I'll just kind of, well, I'll play some Beatles. I'm heading that direction. I got the idea last night. I heard this piece from the Wings album, and I hadn't heard it, really listened to it. It was 1971, and it just brought memories back, and I started thinking, you know, I never play the Beatles.
Well,
and we have a special Beatles file, so we have classic rock or 60s and 70s. The Beatles never come up. You and that was one of my favorite groups in the old days, so I'm going to playing a bunch.
They're mixed in, and it's mixed in by decade. It's not in the classic rock thing. I actually left
BTM or something, Beatles.
No, that's just the directory it lives in, just because it's a different thing. I mean,
yeah. No, it's cool because now, you know, when I do play the Beatles, when I do a show, I think it'll be pretty special. So I'm leaning out that and Clapton are the next two things I'm going to do.
Oh gosh, oh.
He hates Clapton.
Read the book. I can read the book all I want. I have a hard time with that, man. It's like he hires robots for drummers.
No, just... That one album, yeah, Pilgrim. Listen to his tribute to Robert Johnson when he's just pretty much a guitar and acoustic guitar, now someone on whatever.
Hey, we have the Robert Johnson. We have all of that, man.
I realize that, but that was like his god when he was learning guitar, and just have him as a tribute to that great blues and him playing the stuff. It's really nice. I can really hear his guitar work probably better on that than I've ever heard. Because it's acoustic, and you can almost see his fingers moving through the strings.
If I want to listen to Robert Johnson songs, I'll listen to Robert Johnson play them. Thank you very much.
Clapton's better.
I have a horrible joke about Clapton, and I will save that to myself. That's not appropriate for air. I'm going to get off this.
They're my favorite jokes. Yeah. No, I'm my favorite joke. That's how it goes.
I'm my favorite. On that note, I'm going to go eat some lunch. Have fun, Dave.
Yeah, we're going to start out with some Clint Black with Nobody's Home. How's that for being perfect? I put that in about a minute ago. And then I'll do one more duet until I get totally sick of them, and I'll kick it up a few notches. Big Wave Dave and Virgil Porter for KSTP Radio in Sandpoint.